The opinions expressed on this edition of the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Emmanuel Shepherd and Condon, with hosts Shane Rowe and Adam White.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel. My name is Ruthie C. Thank you for hanging out with me on this beautiful Wednesday morning. And I am joined this half hour by my friends from Emmanuel Shepherd and Condon Attorneys at Law. We've got Mr. Adam White and Mr. Shane Rowe joining us. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for joining today.
Good morning, Ruthie.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
I'm so excited to speak with you. This is our first show together here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And we have so much to talk about, such timely and great information that you guys are bringing to our community. I want to take just a minute and make sure that our listeners know who's in the room and just the level of expertise that you guys have to offer. So, Shane, would you like to jump in first to give a little bit of background introduction?
Sure, Ruthie. Shane Rowe here with Emmanuel Shepherd and Condon. I've been with the firm about 20 years. We have had experience in the past dealing with the topic we're here for today, which is hurricane claims, going all the way back to Ivan and Dennis, some Katrina, and then Michael claims. And of course, we've had storms in between. So we're happy both to be here today to just answer any questions. You know, if anybody's confused, we hope we can provide some guidance for folks to make them feel a little more comfortable through this claims process.
Awesome. And Adam, tell us a little bit about your role.
So I've been in the community for about 10 years. I actually started my career off working insurance defense on hurricane claims. I've been with Emmanuel Shepherd and Condon for 6 years, and I focus mainly on construction and employment law. And obviously our office at Emmanuel Shepherd and Condon is looking forward to rebuilding just like everybody else is in our area. I think some of the listeners may have noticed we actually lost an entire office in Perdido Key. So we look forward to rebuilding that just like we help people with rebuilding their homes.
I'm so sorry to hear that. That is just tough. It sounds like, though, you guys are the right ones to be, you know, helping people through as they, you know, just navigate this process, this rebuilding process. And, you know, with this other storm happening out in the world, just really good timing, I think, for everyone to know what to look for when it, and kind of some red flags also, if you will, to look for as they start going back through this process. So we actually have a question coming in. So very first thing right off the bat, if my house has sustained damage, what is the first thing I should do? So what are those steps if someone is still, you know, experiencing damage, they've had some damage to their home, what should they do first?
Obviously, I think the first thing they should do is document the damage to the home, obviously by photos and other means, just taking an accounting of what's been damaged. The next thing that they need to do is locate that insurance policy and contact your insurance company to make a claim and start that process going.
That's it. So if you have your insurance policy, probably a good time to pull that out and take a look.
Yeah, good points, Adam. And what I've seen over the years is it's not until a storm comes that people pull out that policy. So they may be looking at the policy, reading the policy, but my experience is they don't really understand everything that is covered, whether it's the primary structure, other structures, food in their refrigerator, you know, did they have to go out and get a chainsaw to help with the damage to their home? So we are at the firm at least offering free consultations to anyone that wants to call, even if the question is just as simple as what is covered. You know, they probably have presented their claim. They're probably waiting to hear something back. I know I personally am doing that. I know the firm is right in the same wheelhouse there with our claims. But for folks that are confused or maybe aren't sure what might be covered, we're offering free consultations now to talk with them.
That's a fantastic resource. The food in the fridge thing was a new one to me. I didn't know that one.
There are some coverages for that from time to time.
So if you are not sure what is covered, or maybe this is the first, it's been a while since we had a bad storm, so this might be the first time, like you said, Shane, like to review that policy and to look through what is covered. So free consultation from Emmanuel Shepherd and Condon. What's the best way if someone wants to take advantage of that for them to get in touch?
Yeah, they can go to the website, www.esclaw.com. There is interaction there where you can ask a question digitally on our firm's website. You can call the firm, 800-433-6581. And, you know, we've found over the years that just being able to talk to someone right now, you know, can ease things emotionally too.
Absolutely. We've heard that quite a good deal, especially here in our community where, you know, in the face of something difficult is really when we do come together the best. And I think shows off just how tight-knit we are and how we do truly care for each other. So here's another question. Is it a different process if it's a business that's damaged versus a home?
I think it's similar. Businesses might have other issues that come up, maybe some other policies that are applicable. You know, you can't have business interruption coverage at the same time that you have a hurricane claim. And we've had some folks call about that. So otherwise, I think it's very similar as far as documenting your damages. Obviously, you have, as a business, you have employees that might not be able to make it to work. You might have other losses that you need to document from a payroll standpoint. But by and large, the main message is document your losses, whether that's visually with photographs or holding on to P&Ls or anything else that you feel like you've suffered a loss. Even if you've been told by a friend this isn't going to be covered, we say to document all your losses at this point.
It can't hurt, right? And now we all have these handy-dandy smartphones, and it's nice, clear pictures, time-stamped right there in your pocket. So really no reason not to, you know, err on the side of caution there and just go ahead and get that stuff documented.
And there is a lot of other things going on when hurricanes come in. We're talking about claims, but let's face it, we have a bunch of vendors out there, you know, coming and trying to clear trees, do your fence, take care of your yard. And, you know, Adam, you and I were talking before the show, you know, there's some pitfalls there, and you want to make sure you're dealing with licensed people and insured people. And, you know, Adam has had the benefit to be on the other side with insurance companies, and he's got the benefit of being part of our construction litigation team. So he deals really a lot with these unlicensed contractors issues. And, you know, Adam, you might comment on some of the consequences of when these people come around the neighborhoods.
Yeah, I think a point of practical advice that I would give people is maybe the person who's going through your neighborhood knocking on door to door offering free estimates to repair your roof might not be a reputable contractor. Don't just take their word for it. If they're reputable, you can look them up on the Florida Department of Professional Regulation. You can look, make sure that they're licensed and verify that they're licensed. And I would encourage everybody to do that before they sign any contracts or pay any money down on roof damage. Unfortunately, if that person is unlicensed, number one, they're unlikely to do a good job. Number two, it can put you in a fairly precarious situation when you have to get a permit to repair the roof. There's also some remedies if they're unlicensed and you find out that they're unlicensed later, because they do happen to mess something up. So if that is a situation that somebody runs into where unfortunately they got duped into hiring an unlicensed contractor, we'd obviously encourage that person to contact our firm so that we can evaluate their case and see how we can assist them.
Yeah, as Adam said, there can be consequences, you know, if you hire someone that's not insured and they have an injury on your property. You know, you may be looking at another claim against you, you know, just for not checking them out. But Adam kind of brings up a point that we've, you know, made when we've had some other interviews and talks this week is, you know, our firm is full service. It's not just an insurance, you know, plaintiff's firm. And we've tried to message that to our clients. When Adam was just commenting on unlicensed contract, that's something he deals with on a daily basis. And what we've tried to do with the firm is put together a team of lawyers that we think can deal with all of these things, not just whether something's covered or not. That's insurance lawyers, and we have those. You know, I do a lot of that. Ben Shell and Rachel Sheffield are in our insurance litigation team, but we've got lawyers like Adam White and Wes Reeder at the firm that are part of this team that deal daily with construction issues. We've got lawyers that deal with contracts, like Adam was talking about, a contract you might use to hire a contractor to fix your damage or to fix your fence. We've got lawyers that on a daily basis, that's what they do. So what we've tried to tell our clients when they've called, and we give them a free consultation, we just tell them what we can do. And what we think with this team we've put together is whatever the issue is, if the insurance company denies a coverage, well, then you've got insurance lawyers there to look specifically at that issue. That's what we do, myself, Ben Shell, Rachel, on a daily basis. If the insurance company comes in and denies your claim and says, well, that's defective construction, or we don't think we need to fix all that, we've got lawyers that have experience in insurance and construction defect cases like Adam White, who's here, and Wes Reeder. And if a solution is offered to an insured, like a release or an agreement to fix the property, we've heard about assignment of benefits out there, we've heard of other issues, we have lawyers like Adam Cobb and others and Wes Reeder that review these contracts for commercial clients and residential clients on a daily basis. So what we like to say is, no matter what the issue that could come up, and they do come up from my experience, we will have someone within our walls that can review that for you. And we do think that is a benefit, you know, that our firm offers.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. speaking with Mr. Adam White and Mr. Shane Rowe of Emanuel Shepherd and Condon. We're talking about post-hurricane situations that may come up, whether you have damage to your home or business, if you are, you know, tangled up with a contractor, or before you get tangled up with a contractor and you're not sure if they have the right licensing. You know, Emanuel Shepherd and Condon, the team here, has deep expertise in a lot of different areas when it comes to recourse for you. So check them out, esclaw.com. And I love what you said before, Adam, about some ways that you can know if the person that you're doing business with, the contractor, is reputable. And you said there's a good website to go to for people just to check that out. Is that right?
Yes, there is. It's www.myfloridalicense.com. That's through the department, the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation. And you can look up contractors by name or company name to ensure that they're licensed. And that actually brings up a good point. What listeners need to know is that a business license, a local business license, is not sufficient licensure for a general contractor or a roofer to do work on your house. You need to make sure that they're actually also certified by the state, and that's something that we've definitely seen in the past.
That is a great tip. So make sure, you know, just a local business license is one thing, but there's some next level credentials that you should be looking for as you start engaging people with your recovery and your mitigation and just prepping for whatever Delta is going to throw our way.
And a lot of you know, questions or comments we get is, when should I hire a lawyer, or how should I handle this? I think every case is different. There might be clients right now that are not hearing from their company, or they've been just given a strict denial, Adam, and those folks might need a lawyer now. But there are a lot of folks we're talking with now that we're just giving them advice, and they've put their claim in, and we've told them, look, you know, we hope that it's paid. Do it this way. Get some advice. Get the claim in. We hope you're made whole. If you're not and you need us, we're here to help with these various different areas. There are some clients, that business clients or even some residential clients, that just have a voluminous amount of properties and a bunch of insurance policies. And frankly, the paperwork can be overwhelming, and they're just ready to hand it over to someone. But everyone's, Adam, I found that, you know, everybody's situation's a little different, and that's the reason we kind of ask folks just to call and find out where your situation falls in this whole arena.
Have you had any really awesome success stories as people have come, you know, come to the team at Emanuel Shepherd and Condon and needed some assistance over the years? I know it's been a while since we had a bad storm, but does anything come to mind?
Yeah, I could only speak maybe generally about that in the past. You know, yes, a lot of them. And some of them are just things that you wouldn't think are that big of a deal. But, you know, I recall a client after Ivan who just didn't have their, you know, replacement living expenses covered. And, you know, it wasn't a huge deal as far as what we may normally see, but it was a few thousand dollars that they had incurred to go stay at a hotel and to rent property. And there was an insurance company, you know, I'm not going to say names, they were just denying it, and it was covered. And, You know, it was only over a few thousand dollars. Of course, the client called and said, and I don't even know if it's worth it for me to talk to you because you're probably going to charge me more than that for this call. And I said, no, that's not how it works. You know, if the insurance company denies a covered event like that, there is a way, if a lawsuit is filed, for the lawyers to actually get paid their attorney fees from the carrier. So, you know, there are obviously much larger claims that we handled. And if, you know, if I was trying to be braggadocious, I could say we got somebody, you know, $500,000. But it's cases like that that stick in my mind, too. It was a couple thousand dollars, and we had to file a suit to get it, and we got it for them. And it was a really big deal for them. And we were able to get our attorney fees paid by the insurance company. We didn't have to take a percentage from them under that particular scenario. So that's just one that comes to mind. And they're going to be all different types of situations. And, you know, we hope we can just help, you know, belay some of the confusion out there right now, because I'm guilty of it too. Frankly, I should know better. And I looked a lot at my policy for the first time, to be honest. But I know a little bit more than most, but I think we're all guilty of that until this actually happens.
Right, until the moment comes. That is a great story, because sometimes it's not about, like you said, the dollar amount. It's about what it means for that individual or that business.
I think the only thing that I'd like to add to what Shane said is, on an extremely basic level, what people need to understand is that while they may trust their insurance company, and while I know some very good people who work in insurance, at the end of the day, the company is a company. The way they make money is by paying out less than what they're taking in. So they need to understand that the person that they're dealing with on the ground, or the person that's sending them letters about what coverage they're going to be afforded for the damage, that person is looking at their bottom line. They want to pay out the least amount of money as possible. I know that I had a case a few years ago where a property damage claim was being denied just because the adjuster flat missed a specific coverage in the policy. And that's what we do at Emanuel Shepherd & Condon. It's our job to take your insurance policy, to dissect it, to make sure that the adjuster has reviewed everything that they need to review. And when they haven't, we point it out, and we do our best to advocate for that homeowner and to get them the maximum amount of coverage that they're entitled to under their policy.
Yeah, and we have the benefit with Adam here and Ben Shell, who I mentioned, who've had experience working for insurance companies in the past. So it's nice to have some insight in any litigation that you might encounter of how the adversary thinks. And I think that is something that Adam and Ben bring to the team as well.
Yeah, I think that's great. You almost have that inside baseball perspective. You've been on that side of it. We have another question coming in, just changing gears a little bit here. Does Emanuel Shepherd & Condon represent homeowners associations and condo associations? That is a great question.
The answer is yes. We have actually a board certified condo association attorney, Suzanne Blankenship, at the firm. And, you know, most, if not many, of her clients are HOAs and condo associations. And we've actually already been talking to a few of those. And there can be some confusion there, as Suzanne would tell you, on what your rights or your roles and responsibilities are as a member of the condo association versus the association itself. And there we expect, and we're already kind of getting some of that confusion on who has to file for what. And sometimes there is overlap between maybe a homeowner's policy and what the HOA covers. But again, as I mentioned, that team approach, it's real nice to walk upstairs and say, Suzanne, this issue came up. You know, do I need to get this filed, or does the HOA have to do that? Again, it goes back to, you know, being a full service firm and having the, you know, being fortunate and blessed to have the resources, you know, in our walls that we do.
That's very important to know. So if someone is, you know, a member of a homeowners association, of an HOA or a condo association, there might be some facts out there that you want to be aware of, and Suzanne at Emanuel Shepherd & Condon can help with that. So again, esclaw.com, Emanuel Shepherd & Condon. We're doing free consultations. So if you think you have a tricky question or a situation that you would like some guidance, their team, the knowledge is just pretty incredible how deep and broad the team is there. What are some of the other claims or, you know, things that tend to pop up after a hurricane happens?
A lot of different ones, but if I had to say primarily what we see is, hey, I've called my insurance company, I've put my claim in, and it's been 45, 60 days and no one's contacted me, or you know, they've contacted me and told me my fence won't be covered or my shed won't be covered, or you know, my contractor says the roof needs to be replaced per code, but my insurance company is only offering to fix it. You know, those are typical questions. Typically, they're going to be about the denial of claims or delay of claims. It can be some wind versus flood. You know, Adam, we've seen those before. Sometimes it's just an offer is not sufficient. And some people think, well, I'm not going to call a lawyer just because the offer was $500 less. Well, go back to that situation about the replacement living expenses that we had after Ivan. That kind of brings us to another point. And Adam, you and I were talking about this before, is we often get calls and we repeatedly tell the clients, even if you don't call a lawyer or you don't talk to anybody, if you take something away from the show, is put your correspondence in writing the best you can. Now, it's easy for a lawyer to tell you that, put it in writing. Practically, we know that's hard, Adam, because the adjuster's going to call you on the phone. The adjuster may be talking to you in the front yard, but it's best to memorialize those conversations best we can, because I mentioned earlier about the ability to get attorney fees. If you come to our office and say, well, the insurance company denied my fence or my shed or my roof, and we go to pursue that action, and we want to do that, in order for us to get our attorney fees paid, there actually has to be a denial, okay? And then the insurance company, I've seen this happen a lot of times, come back and say, no, we never denied that. Or my client swears they did, you know, over the phone, but there's nothing in writing. So it can be critical to communicate in writing and memorialize conversations, Adam, you'd agree, to make sure that when you come in to talk to a lawyer, we really know where things stand. Adam, you got any comments on that?
No, I think you summed it up pretty good. I think what the listeners should remember is whenever you're dealing with an insurance company, something that I always like to think is that if it's not in writing, it didn't really happen. So always make sure that all of your interactions, your denials, your submitting of estimates and wanting increased coverage, you put all of that in writing.
And we hope that, you know, most claims will be handled fairly. You know, Adam and I both have lots of friends in the insurance industry. We're certainly not trying to, you know, bash that industry. We have lots of good friends and colleagues in it. But, you know, what we're saying is if the situation comes where there's a question about fairness or an offer or a denial or a delay and you have questions, you can feel free to call us and we'll be happy to speak with you about it.
Very good. And again, that number is 800-433-6581. If you have a denial, a delay, or just a question that you think the team at Emanuel Shepherd and Condon can help you with, also the website esclaw.com. And I love what you said about, you know, if it's not in writing, did it really happen? So taking those pictures, documenting any type of damage, and then also making sure you have that paper trail of your conversations with your insurance company. You know, trust but verify. Like you said, some people really do trust. So thank you guys so much. Is there anything else last minute that you think was really great for people to know right now?
Sure. You know, other than, you know, don't be bashful about calling, you know, 800-433-6581. Like we said, we do free phone consultations at this time, and we'll continue to do that. And we're Adam and I are happy to be here today, and thanks a lot, Ruthie.